Good morning, Upward family. How's everybody? Great to see you all. You're looking well today. Beautiful July day. Isn't it wonderful to live in the mountains where July doesn't feel like July? Is this how it's going to be today? All right, then. I'll be as nice to you as you are to me. I can break out mean preacher anytime if I need to. All right, beautiful. Time to be in Henderson County. We're in a new series today called Formed, and we enjoyed so much the last 7 weeks being in the Born Again series, and I got some tremendous news about that. That original series was going to be 4 weeks, and it turned out to be seven. During the 7 weeks of the Born Again series, 55 people were actually born again. Isn't that crazy? 55 people came to know Jesus Christ over the last 7 weeks. 17 of them are going to be baptized next week, and we just love celebrating baptisms. Get ready for next week. It's going to be baptism, 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 and we're so excited about that. We begin a new series today called Formed, and it's so incredibly timely that God has us here. I believe there's never been a time in our history that we've needed to focus on spiritual formation like we need to right now. We really need to focus as a church and as a culture. We need to focus on becoming like Jesus Christ, because that's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is not to have a happy, successful, comfortable life. The ultimate goal is not to just play it safe and stay safe. The ultimate goal is for us to be the body of Christ on this earth, to be the representation of who Jesus Christ is in our communities. Amen. I want to impact our community for Jesus Christ. Somebody, Jim, handed me an article this morning I read already that said if you are going through a natural disaster, the best solution to that is to be in a community that is filled with churches. Because they studied and they found out that the counties that were the most resilient during times of natural disasters were the counties that had the highest church attendance. Why is that? Because the church is being Jesus in the community. And there was never a time in our history, in my lifetime, that I can see that our communities, our state, and our nation needs the presence of Jesus here. And that's who we are called to be the presence and the power of Jesus in our communities. And we can do that when we're formed in his image. Now, I love that word, formed. Did I mention to you that I'm gonna have a granddaughter in November? Did I tell you that? If you're not sick of hearing that, just hang on, you will be. I'm gonna work her into every sermon for the next 20 years, so just get used to hearing all kind of stuff like that. We got pictures of her, I'll show you pictures. Yes, that's right, I'm showing the ultrasounds to everybody that'll look at them. And we got to see her as she's being formed in the womb. And all I can figure out her head and her nose and her mouth, and the rest of it, there's a body there. And people say, well, that's this. I'm like, really? I don't know what that is. But I saw her precious, beautiful little nose and her mouth, and she right now is being formed by God in the womb. And I love that so much. God personally is shaping her and making her into the person he's called her to be. But the truth is, formation doesn't stop when we come out of the womb. It is a process that continues throughout our whole lives. Did you realize that you and I and all of us, we are being formed today into a different person? Every day of our lives, something or someone is forming us. Something or someone is changing us. We're going to be in Romans chapter 12, just two verses in this whole series that should last 3 or 4 weeks. Romans 12, 1 and 2, particularly verse 2, teaches us that you have a choice in being formed. You can either be conformed or transformed. That is, you can either be conformed by the world around you, or you can be transformed by the Jesus that lives inside of you. I don't think there's ever been a time when we need more to resist conformity and to embrace transformation. When we need to push back against the outside pressures that are trying to shape us in their image and receive the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus that wants to transform us into His image. The world would like to shape you. The world has a pressure that wants to form you and shape you in its image. But Jesus wants to live inside of you and transform your heart every day to where you're more like Him every day, to where you talk like Him, you think like Him, you act like Him. Eventually, you just go around doing what He did. And that's our goal. Not to be conformed, but to be transformed as Jesus renews our mind. Today, we're going to be in Romans 12:1. And we're going to look at the first step to spiritual formation. And the first step to spiritual formation is presenting yourself to God as a living sacrifice. Powerful words here. Romans 12:1. Let's read it. Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." That you present your bodies, yourself, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I love this passage. In the book of Romans, the first 11 chapters are highly doctrinal. Paul teaches us about justification by faith, and he teaches us doctrine. That is, he teaches us what to believe. How many of you know doctrine is really important? What you believe is vitally important. But then in chapter 12, Paul moves from the doctrinal teaching to the application of how that doctrine is to affect our lives. And I love that. Doctrine that gets in your head won't do you any good unless it gets in your feet. That means doctrine believed needs to be doctrine acted. So Paul in chapter 12 begins to move into the practical application of what he's been teaching us for the previous 11 chapters. And he comes at it with such a good attitude. He says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God." I love that. The word beseech is pretty powerful. Anybody love having the Holy Spirit in your life? One of the Greek words for the Holy Spirit is the word paraclete, and I love that word so much. The word paraclete in the Greek means one called alongside to help. It's as if when Jesus was carrying His cross, people were called to help Him carry His cross. That's what the word paraclete means. And that's what the Holy Spirit is called many times in the New Testament. He is our paraclete. He's called alongside us to help. That word beseech comes from the word paraclete. What Paul is saying is, brethren, and I love that too. Paul's saying we're all in a family here. He's talking to Christians in the family of God. And he's saying, I want to come alongside you and encourage you with this truth. And then he says, I'm doing this by the mercies of God. That's really important. How merciful has God been to you? Has God put up with some of your junk? Has God loved you when you didn't deserve it? Has God ever forgiven you of the same sin twice? Why are you laughing? It may be actually three times, right? You ever fallen back into the same hole again and God picked you up again? I'm so thankful for the mercies of God, and I think we never need to forget the mercies of God in our lives and realize everything we have is simply because of God's grace. He gave us what we do not deserve. Paul said, I'm appealing to you because of God's mercy to us that you should live this way, saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you do this. And this is an incredible gift we're called to give to God. We often talk about what Jesus has given us, but you know there's something we can respond with, and Paul teaches us that in this passage. He said, understanding all this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to present your bodies. I want you to present your life, yourself, to God as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Him. And Paul said, which is your reasonable service. Paul describes us as living sacrifices. What does that mean? It means that God wants you He doesn't just want your money, he wants you. He doesn't just want your time, he wants your heart. Sometimes it's easy for us to see ourselves as cogs in the wheel, see ourselves as just members of an organization, or see ourselves as part of what God's trying to do, and we fill our role, and God saved us so he could put us in a role. We could greet in the parking lot. We could serve in the nursery. We can serve coffee. We can preach. All those things are wonderful and good. But you know what? God didn't save you to put you to work for him. He saved you because he wanted you. He wanted a relationship with you. He wanted your heart above all things. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, take your life and everything you are, your heart, your soul, and present it to God. Make a gift of it to God. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to say for a minute we can pay God back with the gift of our lives. The score will never be even. But his sacrifice calls for our sacrifice. Any good gift givers? Nobody gives in this congregation? Can I see your hand? How many of you love giving gifts? Amen. I'm becoming a better gift giver. My wife and I celebrated 38 years of being married last week, and so it was a big old week, and I went and found her a gift, and you can clap. Thank you. I wasn't trying for that, but that's good. I went and bought her a gift. I'm so sneaky when I'm buying her gifts. The only time I lie to her is when I'm buying her a gift. I make up stories of where I'm going. I went to the nicest, very classy place. I don't go to these much, but I went to a nice, very classy store to buy her gift, and I went dressed in my mowing clothes because she thought I was getting mower gas while I was out buying her gift, and she wondered why it took so long to get gas. But I love buying gifts. Paul puts it in this kind of language. Brethren, give your life as a gift to God. Surrender who you are to God as an offering to him. And then he uses these words. It's really hard for us to understand. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. We are a living sacrifice before God. Now, what does that mean? Well, sacrifice is all over the Bible. In the Old Testament, the first 39 books of the Bible, that's the Old Testament, you see sacrifice over and over and over again. God called the nation of Israel. He brought them out. He called them in Abraham and brought them out. He made a nation of them, a special family that he loves and serves to this day. They went into slavery in Egypt, were there 400 years. They cried out to God for a deliverer. He sent Moses. Moses came and delivered them. They wandered out into the wilderness and wouldn't enter into their promised land because of unbelief. So these people that God rescued wound up wandering in the wilderness for a long, long time. During this time, God set up a system of sacrifice to cleanse the nation from their sins. And typically, there were many kinds of different sacrifices, but I'm going to generalize here this morning. Typically, how it worked is someone sinned, and when they sinned, they brought one of their animals to the priest. They brought the animal to the tabernacle, later the temple, and they brought an animal to the priest, and they said, "This is my sacrifice for sin." So the priest took the animal and killed it, poured out its blood before God, and often burned the body of the animal, and that was a sacrifice. You say, wow, this is a bloody religion. It really is. You know, the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Meaning when sin happens, blood must be shed. Paul says it in Romans, the wages of sin is death. And these sacrifices represented over and over. You know when the first sacrifice was? Adam and Eve sinned. You remember Adam and Eve? Anybody still ticked off at Adam and Eve? I am. Adam and Eve sinned. They did the one thing God said not to do, and immediately they knew something was wrong. When you sin, your heart knows something is wrong. Now, I know y'all have never sinned because you look so holy this morning and righteous, but I have. And just let me tell you, have you ever felt that ache in your heart when you knew you did the wrong thing and you shouldn't do it, and you just feel it in here? Anybody? That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's not shame. It's not knocking you down. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, turn this over to me. Adam and Eve sinned, and they immediately knew something was wrong, and they felt somehow the need to cover themselves, because that's what sin does. Sin makes you want to cover up. Sin makes you want to hide. Sin makes you want to run. We talked about that last week. When you live in righteousness, you can run to the light. When you live in darkness, you got to run to the dark and hide. So immediately Adam and Eve started covering themselves up with fig leaves. But that wasn't good enough for God. So God made a covering for them from the skin of an animal. And there's your bloodshed. It was the shedding of a blood of an animal that covered their sins. So God set up a system of sacrifice, and over again, when the nation sinned, when individuals sinned, an animal had to be sacrificed, blood poured out on the altar, and then often the body burned as an offering before God, and that cleansed their sins. I'm thankful today we don't live under that system. I'm thankful today that there has been one perfect sacrifice for all that never has to happen. No sacrifice like that ever has to happen again, because God sent his only begotten Son to be the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God who poured out his blood for the sins of the world. And I'm saved as I come under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Here's the deal, though, about the sacrifices. They're dead. All through the Old Testament, all sacrifices are dead. They're gone. Paul comes around saying, hold up here. Now we are living sacrifices. Well, first of all, Jesus is the only sacrifice that ever came back from the dead. He defeated the power of death so that we could identify with his death on the cross, receive resurrection life, and still live for him with the power of the Holy Spirit in us. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? When we think of sacrifice, we think of somebody who's died. And it's so appropriate, and it's so necessary to do so. We need to remember in our day in the United States that many men and women have given their lives for the cause of freedom. And we always need to honor that sacrifice. Can I get an amen? Amen. Just this week we dedicated the bridge that goes over Four Seasons Boulevard. Four Seasons 64, where it goes over 26, is now the Deputy Ryan P. Hendricks Bridge. We were able to dedicate that this week for a young man who gave his life for the service of Henderson County to keep us safe. He was a precious young man. And you know, we prayed over that bridge, and none of us planned this, but everybody in the ceremony said it. God, make this bridge a holy place in Henderson County. That when anybody drives over and over under this bridge, they'd be safe and the love of God will touch them. And the sacrifice of Jesus Christ will impact their lives. I believe God can do that, right? We honor sacrifice. But we tend to think in sacrifice as death. Had a professor in Bible college who was one of the wisest men I ever knew. And he could always come up with the best answers. I envy him. I'm about his age now that he was then. I am now, and I still don't have the wisdom that he had. He could just say it like it needed to be said. Now, we're all young people in Bible college, and we wanted to all die for Jesus Christ. Have you ever had that desire? I want to prove my love by dying for Jesus Christ. I just want to be willing to die for him. And we'd heard a sermon on being willing to die for Jesus, and we were just praying, Lord, help me to die for you. And that zeal is good. One of the young men approached our professor and he said, how do I know that I'm willing to die for Jesus? And the prof looked him in the eye and said, son, are you willing to live for Jesus? He said, because God is not asking you today to die for him. He's asking you to live for him. It's one thing to die for Jesus. And I pray that should that time ever come in my life, I'd be willing to. But it's another thing to live for Jesus and die to myself while I'm still breathing, while I'm still living. What the church needs today is just not dead heroes. We need people today who will live unto Christ and die unto themselves. Amen. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. It means to get up every day and put Jesus first over your own desires. It means to live your life as an offering to God. Now, I want to drive this home today, and I want you to get this today. How do you see your life? Life can get really routine. Life can get mundane. Get up in the morning, work, come home, eat something, rest, go to bed, wait till Friday, maybe get a day off on Saturday, maybe take a little time, get up on Sunday, come to church. I said, get up on Sunday, come. Like, Pastor, we're here. We get it. We're here. We're here. Come home, do some stuff with the kids, homework. I mean, it just keeps rolling, and life can become very mundane. And you can just see yourself as this ant on a clump of dirt flying around the universe, and life can seem meaningless. I want you to see this about your life. I want you to see your life as an offering to God of worship. That when you get up in the morning, you do everything you do, as mundane as it may seem, you do it as unto the Lord. That's what it means to be a living sacrifice. You mean, preacher, I can brush my teeth for Jesus? You can live your life as a sacrificial offering to God. And that's where life is. That's where true life is to be found. Now, you can live your life to try to grab as much as you can out of life. You know people who do that? Every day it's about another dollar. Nobody saying amen. Nobody knows anybody like that. It's about getting more stuff, making more friends, getting another follower, having more influence. And you reach after that and you grasp after that, and the more you get, the less it means to you. And the older you get, the more disillusioned you get with stuff. And you realize stuff didn't mean anything anyway. Jesus said this. He said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. You're like, man, preacher, that sounds awful. Man, preacher, that doesn't sound like life. You mean every day I've got to take up the cross? Paul said this. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me daily. And then he says this, whoever saves his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What Jesus is saying, and this is Jesus, this is not Paul, it's not Jesus himself is saying, if you want to have life, lose your life for my sake. Live your life as a living sacrifice to me, and you'll find life like you never knew possible. You'll find joy like you never knew possible. You'll find peace like you never knew possible. When you're grasping for life and trying to bring it to yourself, it's actually slipping through your fingers. But when you lay your life down at the feet of Jesus Christ, you truly find it. Man, I found that to be true. It's not instinctive. It's counterintuitive. But when you live your life as an offering to God, you begin to walk in life. You begin to walk in power. You begin to walk and be the person that God made you to be. It's not about finding your best life or being the best you can be in life. It's about laying down your life at the foot of the cross for Jesus Christ and Him pouring His life into you. I want to be a living sacrifice. Then he goes on to say, a living sacrifice, holy. Now, what do you think of that word, holy? When you hear that word, holy, we have a, I noticed it this morning, we have a holiness camp meeting going on right over here. You go by the building, and I love seeing it. It says, holiness unto the Lord in the building right over here. And that's a great statement, and I love that. What do we mean when we say holy? For many of you, it may conjure up images of self-denial and sadness and can't have any fun. Anybody, when you think of holy, you're like, oh Lord, I don't need any of that. I want to have some fun in life. Maybe your idea of holiness is that. The word holy means this. It means to be set apart for God. It's the idea of something is sitting here and you pick it up and sit it over here for a new purpose. Anybody like aquariums? Anybody like to look at fish? They say watching fish reduces stress. I've always wanted to have a saltwater aquarium, but I've never had the time to do it. Anybody had a saltwater aquarium here? If you've had one, nobody. None of us found the time, did we? With a saltwater aquarium, you just don't pour the fish in there and let it go. You have to manage it very carefully. You have to do a thing called, I've studied it and because I wanted to do it and I thought, nah, it's too much for me. You actually have to change the water out, take a few gallons in, put a few water back. You gotta let it sit, you gotta let it age. If you put live rock in there, it becomes incredibly complicated. The fish are very, very expensive. I had a friend who had a saltwater aquarium and he was an enthusiast about it. And if you got one of those, you got to work all the time and you can't leave it. Somebody's got to be, you know, there and take care of it. He went on vacation one time for 3 weeks, I think it was. And he left a friend with his aquarium and he wrote down all the instructions. He told him about how to add water, how to take some water out, how to clean it, how to feed the fish and all this sort of stuff. And he came back, essentially, long story short, his fish are all dead. Don't you love your friends? His fish are dead. And he came to find out that the friend had done a small water change, but had used a bucket from the garage. And the bucket didn't look like, it wasn't full of oil or anything. The bucket looked like just a normal bucket. But that was actually his car wash bucket. And apparently there was enough residue of the soap still left in the bucket that when the friend did the water change, some soap or some chemical or something got in the water and killed all his fish. And I mean, that's a sad day. I mean, you could easily put $1,000 worth of fish in an aquarium and they're all gone. He told his friend, he said, "What in the world? I told you to use the aquarium bucket." Said, What he did is he had a big orange bucket. It was the one orange bucket. And on the orange bucket, he had written in big letters, aquarium. Why? Because that bucket was set apart for the aquarium. And nothing could go into that bucket that wouldn't further the mission and life of the aquarium. That's what being holy is. It's not thinking you're better than anybody else. It's not getting this attitude of self-superiority to where you've achieved something spiritually and the rest of the world is down here. It simply means this. Jesus writes his name across your life and you are set apart to him for his purposes. I'm never going to make holiness a list of do's and don'ts. I believe holiness is much more than do this and don't do that. But I will tell you this, when your life is set apart to Jesus Christ, there's some stuff you don't let into your bucket, because this bucket, you didn't know you were going to see yourself as a bucket today, did you? But this bucket has Jesus written over it, and nothing's coming in here that doesn't bring the life of Jesus in me and through me. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. How do I live this out? It's very simple. Number one, I surrender my desires to Jesus. I surrender my desires to Jesus. I'm not going to live anymore by the desires of my body. I'm going to live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? Anybody's body here ever want to do things you shouldn't do? Two of us here. Thanks, brother and sister over there. Anybody ever want to eat something you shouldn't eat? Your body wants to do things that aren't good for it. I'm surrendering my desires to Jesus. And when I have a decision to make, I don't operate out of my own desires. I operate out of what God would want in my life. That's living as a living sacrifice. Secondly, I surrender my decisions to Jesus. That is, when I'm in a decision, I don't do what I want to do. I do what He wants me to do. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? Come on, preacher. Ease up on us a little bit this morning. Where the rubber meets the road is when I'm faced with a decision. Am I going to do what Andy wants, or am I going to do what Jesus wants? If I do what He wants, I surrender my life to Him as a living sacrifice. I'm going to surrender my desires to Jesus. I'm going to surrender my decisions to Jesus. And I'm going to surrender my days to Jesus. I'm going to give my schedule to Him. I'm going to live as unto the Lord. Amen. Every day. I talked a bit about the mundane. I'm going to close. Y'all come out. Busy parents? Any busy parents in the room? Can I just say this quickly? I got to end this quickly, but I love seeing y'all get your kids to children's ministry and back. I love it. I've seen parents coming in with four or five kids, and here I am trying to shake their hands. I love it. There's some moms and dads are like, preacher, we love you, but I can't let go. If I let go, bad things are going to happen, so I just pat them on the back. If I let go, there's no telling where this is going to go. And I see you getting them in, and we got the greatest children's ministry, don't we? I mean, we have incredible people who work there all the time, and we love them, love them. Sometimes we can hear the kids in here, and I just love that. I love it when they get loud and we can hear them. It doesn't bother me a bit. In fact, I cheer it on. Today, they're going to crank up the volume just to see if that's true. You know what I love? I see you coming in. You're tired, especially if you're at 8:45. You got up early. You're bringing all those kids in, getting them to church. Can I tell y'all something? You will never regret raising your children in church. You will never regret the struggle of getting here. Here's what I'm trying to get at. When you bring those kids to church, you're worshiping Jesus as a living sacrifice. In the daily routines, when you get up and you're packing their lunch, you can worship God in that. When you get up and you go to work and you do the same thing every day, you do it as unto the Lord and not to men. And your life becomes an offering to God. That's the big thing that I want you to get today. Don't see your life as a series of mundane events, one after another after another. See what you do as an offering to the Lord, as a living sacrifice. And Paul said it's acceptable to God, and He receives it. Amen. 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 Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace. Thank you for the truth of your word that lives in us. And I ask you today, God, do the work that only you can do today. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many would say here today, Pastor, I'm saying yes to Jesus this morning. I want him as my Savior. I want him as my Lord. And I'm saying yes to him. I'll not embarrass you, but can I see your hand really quick? I'm saying yes to Jesus. Yes to him. Anybody this morning? God bless you. Two hands this morning. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Love that so much. Awesome. How many say, Pastor, I love Jesus. I serve him. But I want to surrender my whole life to him as a living sacrifice. I want to see my life as an act of worship to God every day. Through the mundane, through things that seem boring, I want to see my life as an offering to God. Can I see your hands today? I want to be that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. I want to pray right now for those that are saying yes to Jesus, and with those, please pray with us now, and the church is going to help me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me, for dying for me. I ask you today, in Jesus' name, forgive my sin. Come into my heart, Lord. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. And from this day forward, I follow you. Amen, amen. Can you stand to your feet and celebrate that today? Love that, love that, love you. I may need some blessing in your life today. Amen. The word says we will be blessed in our going out and our coming in. We'll be blessed when we lay down. We'll be blessed when we get up. And today, I simply pray that blessing over you today. The blessing of God may rest upon everything in your life that you see as mundane. When you get up in the morning, God's blessing rests on you. When you go to sleep at night, when you get in your car and you turn on the engine, when you're driving back and forth to work, in all that you do, you're going to recognize the blessing of God over that and his favor on your life as you surrender it all to him. For when the sacrifice was offered, something came down. It was the fire of God. And as you offer worship to God, his presence and power is going to be made manifest in your life in all kinds of powerful ways. I pray it and I bless you with it in Jesus' name today. Now I commission you, go out, make Jesus known everywhere you go, because that's why we're here. Amen. Love y'all so much. Be blessed. We'll see you next week.